word of God is so constant. The word of God. And so, you know, with that being said, you know, we come to the Lord, and this would be a perfect time. How do we celebrate Christmas time? Amen. And so if you have your Bibles with you, and if you are physically able to honor Jesus as the word of God, if you can please rise up and turn our Bibles to the Gospel John. Gospel John, chapter 1. Gospel John, chapter 1. I like the subtitle on my Bible, and I'm reading from the NIV version. God became a human being. That's the title of a chapter. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Capital W in your Bibles? Praise God. Amen. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, through Jesus, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In Jesus, in Christ, was life, and that life was the light of men, the light of all. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He, that's John the Baptist, he himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. You and I are all witnesses to the light. And when you and I have Jesus, we are reflectors of that light. Verse 9, the true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all, here's a good part, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, whose name? Jesus. He gave the right to become what? Children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Verse 14, and this is where we're going to magnify our study today. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Hallelujah. John testifies concerning him. He cries out saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came from Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for sending Jesus, who is the Word. You sent him because you love us so much. And Father God, this Christmas season, it's always good for all of us to revisit the Word of God during Christmas time. And Father God, our prayer is that none of us be distracted with the busyness of the season that we forget about Christ. Help us all, Lord God, and we thank you for this gathering this afternoon, that for everyone present, Lord God, we'll hear you today. We'll hear your voice speaking to each one's heart. You're the God who's all-knowing and all-seeing, God. And we pray that, God, that, Lord, our hearts be open to Jesus, that we make room in our hearts for Christ, who is the celebrant, that it's his birthday. And that as we study the Word of God, may we be reminded of why you sent him in the first place. And our greatest need is of your salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. You know, it's amazing with, you know, the advanced technology nowadays that through the internet, gone are the days of sending messages via mail. How many of you still write letters and drop them in the post office? None. There we go, Sister Janet, email, right? And so even if the person is thousands of miles away, that through, you know, the technology now through the email, you just type whatever you want to say, the message, and the person would receive it, boom, right away, right? And then you get a reply back. It's amazing. But what if the person decides to bring the message in person, even though, you know, probably thousands of miles, you know, when that person comes to you in person, the impact is greater, right? Yes. The impact is greater. Let me share with you a story that I, you know, an experience that I had. There was a time that I was gone from my workplace for several months after a major surgery. And the owner of the company, whose office is on the fourth floor and I'm on the third floor, he did not just send me an email when he found out that I was back to work. To my amazement, he came down. He came down and in person looked for my cubicle and gave me a warm embrace, a warm hug. I'm glad you're back, Monette. And that spoke volumes. It had such an impact on me, considering that he is the owner of the company, and knowing that what happened to me, he didn't just, like what I said, just didn't send an email. You know, an owner of the company, he's a busy man. He's a busy guy. But he took the time. He took the time and then looked for my cubicle and welcomed me back with a warm embrace. And I was deeply touched by that gesture. You know, we're talking about an important man in the company where I work for, but when you and I are reminded of what Christmas is all about, in essence, the birth of Jesus is God coming down in the flesh. Amen. Let me say that again. Christmas is about the truth that because of the love of God for you and me, that God decided to send his only son to come down in the flesh. We have to keep our hearts open to what the Spirit of God is going to reveal to you and me. Like what we've said earlier in our prayer, at times when we read and revisit the scriptures about the birth of Jesus, probably some of you will be, oh, I heard that already. You know, at times, you know, people can have that kind of reaction because it gets too familiar. But see, with the Word of God is like a mine. We dig, and the more we dig deeper, we see treasures from God's Word. And how we were reminded in our Bible study previously that the Word of God is likened to a rain that comes down from heaven, that when the rain touches the earth buds and blooms. You would see, now, let's say, a dry piece of land after so much rain, you would see grass sprouting, right? So life comes from something that is barren. See, that's why you and I need to have that kind of attitude when we come in a setting like this and hear the Word of God and keep our hearts open to God's Word, because we know that God is going to speak to us. Hallelujah. Amen. So the essence of the birth of our Lord Jesus is Jesus, God, coming down in the flesh. It's a powerful truth that can change our lives in the here and now, and for all eternity. How you and I receive God's Word, that's what would make the difference. Pastor Aida shared to us last Sunday about how you and I should receive God's Word. We have to believe what the Word of God says. When we put faith in it, in what you and I are reading, that changes us. That changes our lives today and for all eternity. Jesus, we have to realize that he's both God and human. He's both God and human, because others would say, oh, you know, he's a good teacher. No, he's God. But he's both God and human. And because of God's love for us, Jesus willingly took on the form of being human. You know what that means? Before he was God, enjoying heaven, the glory of heaven, now when he became human like us, we realize that, what does it mean to be human? We're limited, right? Yeah. When you are here, right here in the city of Carson, you cannot be in another place. That's a limited space. You cannot be in two different places at one time. And so that's one of the things that Jesus was willing to subject himself. As God, he could be anywhere, everywhere, right? And even for times, time's sake, he was limited in time. Now, he was willing to give up all those rights. Can you imagine someone giving up their special privileges and rights for someone? That is one way of expressing love. But you know what? I think there's a better word for what Jesus did when he would want to show us his love for us. And the word is sacrifice. It's a sacrificial love. Let me give you an example in our, you know, here on earth. A mom or a dad or a grandparent who has, if you have a child at home and that baby is sick, you would sacrifice your time to give up hours of sleep, right? To take care of your child or your grandchild or whoever or a family member. Sacrifice. You would be willing to give up what you would say, you know, I need my 8 hours of sleep. But you are willing to give that up if you have a child who is sick, right? And so, but what Jesus did was he willingly took on that form of being human so that he could live here on earth and die later on for the salvation of all who would believe in him. See, now, the conception of Jesus, conception, how he was conceived in Mary's womb and his birth, these are supernatural events. I will say that again. How Jesus was conceived in Mary's womb and how he was born, these are all supernatural events. What does supernatural mean? It's beyond the natural means. And it's amazing how when you would read the Gospel of Luke, how the Gospel of Luke gives us really all the details of the virgin birth. And imagine how when you and I come to find out that Luke of all people, is a doctor. As a doctor, he knows perfectly well how a baby is conceived. But the Holy Spirit, as he was inspired, so it's like if you were like a physician, if you have a medical degree, and then God would tell you, okay, this is how Jesus is going to be born, and you would scratch your head. Oh, that's beyond what I learned in medical school. See, because when you and I are reminded about who God is, God is a supernatural God. So meaning to say, because he is God, he can do beyond the ordinary and the normal way. See, the thing is, when you and I begin to have an understanding of this, God's plan for our salvation is beyond human understanding. Okay, that's why it takes faith. Takes faith to do that. The God who created the universe, the God who created us, is supernatural. I've shared this many times. When you look at you know, your surroundings, nature. Who are nature lovers here? As a nature lover, do you go to places like there are trees and forests, or if you would go to the beach? Which is the nearest beach here? Redondo Beach or Huntington? Huh? Manhattan. You have Manhattan. You have Long Beach. Redondo Beach. Okay, take your pick. There's a God who created that. And when you are there by the seashore, aren't you amazed by, you look at the vastness of the ocean, and then when you reach the seashore, and it's like, so the depth of the ocean, and yet when you come close to the seashore, and it's like, you know, the waves would come crushing, but they would just stop at a certain point because there's a God who controls that. If you go to the Griffith Observatory, I haven't gone there yet, but, you know, I know. But there are telescopes. You could, like, use those and view the universe, the stars, Milky Way. And you see how parang yung mga lights in the sky, it's like they're stars, but they don't fall, right? They're steady. Wow. Because you know what? Jesus created that. He sets everything in order. Yeah. And how the earth revolves around the sun. Oh, wow. But they're just hanging, right? But it's in order. It doesn't come into collision. But that would change towards Revelation, okay? Now, I use that because the Bible tells us that man is without excuse about the existence of God. Some people will say, oh, it's God. I don't believe in God. But in the Bible tells us, when you and I consider the creation, so we are reminded that there is a God who created that. For some of you who are nurses here, you took anatomy, physical anatomy, human anatomy. I've heard some who said, as a Christian, when they were learning all of these things, and they were in awe of the intricate parts of the body, of how every part God, Jesus, thought of. And you and I will be amazed of his wisdom and the intricacy of every detail. Amen. Because God is a God of details, and God is a God of wisdom. And so, when now you and I are reminded of his power and of his wisdom, oh, Lord, you even thought about that, right? And so, see, because if God's ways are ordinary for us to easily understand, then how can we learn to entrust him with bigger issues of life? Some people, because the Bible tells us that the ways of God and the thoughts of God are higher than ours. There would be at times conversation with people who would begin to question whether, number one, they would question the existence of God, let alone question whether God loves them. See, when people are suffering, even as a Christian, at times there's our tendency to question whether he loves us or not. But when you and I would revisit the birth of our Lord Jesus and be reminded why he came in the first place, then we are reminded that he came because he loves us so much. Now let's look at another portion of the Bible in Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 to 16. Glory to God. Hebrews chapter 4. Let's start with verse 14. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, who is that high priest? Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. You and I are admonished to hold on to our faith. Hold on to our faith. There is a shakening happening right now in our lives, but the Bible reminds us, let us hold firmly to our faith. Verse 15, for we do not have a high priest who is unable, look at that, who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one, and that is in Christ. We have someone who has been tempted in every way just as we are. Look at that. Look at those verses. Let the word of God come alive. We have someone who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. And so here from this verse, because Jesus lived as a man, as a human being, now we know that he fully understands our experiences and struggles. Let me say that again. Because this was one thing, even before I came to know the Lord, this was my struggle. My thought was, my mind, my way of thinking was, he's there enjoying the glory of God. And I was doing this to God. When you and I are going through difficult times, there's a whole range of emotions going on. When things are not going well in life, there would be a litany of whatever that challenge or problem or trial may be. There goes this whole range of emotions. We can be lonely, we can be angry, we can be resentful, we can be bitter, angry towards God, angry towards people. That's what the enemy is doing here in the heart and in the mind. Because if that mind is not connected to the source of life, who is the source of truth, and would tell us, why am I going through this? So at that point in my life, even before I came to know Jesus, before I got born again, I was that person. I was depressed. I was mad at God, mad towards people. And so that's why when I got born again, there was someone at my workplace that saw the total change in me. The total change. She said, your aura, your countenance is different now. And I had joy. Before I was I'm like the Scrooge in Christmas. Everything that I see is negative. It's like, I was mad. Mad at God, mad at people. But that was change because of Christ. And so now, you and I find comfort to know just from this verse that when you and I are going through difficult times, we can come to the Lord and say to him, Lord, I thank you that you understand what I'm going through. If you're going through rejection, you give love to someone and the person doesn't love you back. Do you know that Jesus went through all of that? He saw the needs of people and, you know, met their needs. And towards the end, oh, you were able to do that miracle because you have a demon in you. Can you imagine doing good to someone and they would, in the end, call you demonyo ka? And never receive love back. That hurts. Jesus went through that too. Rejection? Oh yeah, big time rejection. Even while he was hanging at the cross, people were laughing at him. Oh, if you're God, come down, right? They were mocking him. And so that's why when you and I read verses like this, and it tells us, reminds us that Jesus was born. Imagine, he didn't come, heaven did not open so wide, and then there was like magical stairs, big stairs, golden stairs, and Jesus, as an adult, would come down with all his crown. Hey, you people, I'm your Savior. You better repent or burn. He could have chosen to do that. No. He came as a baby. Woo! As a baby. And so some people would be so hard for them to even reconcile that baby is a Savior. How can a baby save us? And so as we progress in this story, we're going to see the ways of God. We have to see kung mga pamamaraan ng Panginoon in bringing about what He has planned for us. And so we find comfort from this powerful truth that Jesus understands because He's been there. He knows what it means to be in need. How many of us have, whether material needs, financial needs? He knows what it means to be in need because, do you know what? Jesus came from a poor family. Do you know that? He wasn't born to be a governor's son or a politician's son. He came and was born to Joseph, who is a carpenter by trade. But let me just go back. The conception of our Lord Jesus, you and I have heard the word incarnate, right? Incarnate. Incarnation. Carnate, the word carne means... Carne is meat, right? Kayo naman. Magulo kayo. Okay, carne. It's like when you look at a chili con carne, right? Chili with meat. Incarnate means may meat, right? In the flesh. In the flesh. And so how he was conceived. Joseph was not his father. He was conceived in Mary's womb through the Holy Spirit. You know that song that we were singing earlier? The power of the Spirit of God. Great and mighty is the power of God. So when we have God on our side, what is seemingly impossible is made possible through the work of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Why did God thought of that way? Because Jesus had to come in the flesh to die for our sins. He was to be the Lamb of God. And that lamb should be without blemish. Blameless. Thank you, Mom. Blameless. And so Jesus had to be, how can he be born into this earth? And that is the way, through the Holy Spirit of God. That is incarnation. Miracle, right? Amen. And he was born. he was born. Amen. So it's supernatural. And so he knows what it means to be in need because he came from a poor family. How do we know that? He was born to Joseph, a carpenter, when Jesus grew up. That became his trade. So he's a carpenter. Carpintero. Ordinary. Ordinary. Look at the book of Luke. Look at Luke. Chapter 2. Look at Luke. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Let's look at verse 21. I'm just going to show you verses that would support that, you know, they don't have much financially. Luke 2:21. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise Jesus, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. Chapter 2. Now, nasa verse 22 na tayo. For the sake of time, I'm sorry, I cannot wait for everyone till. When the time of their purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took Jesus to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. It's like dedication, baby dedication. As it was written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord. Look at what they offered. A pair of what? Turtle doves or two young pigeons. What does that tell us? Exactly, Mom. There were several ceremonies. I don't have to go into detail from those verses. If you are in a Jewish family, there are three things that needs to happen in a ceremony when a baby is born. There is the circumcision, 8 days after birth. This symbolizes the circumcision symbolizes that you are made separate. As a Jew, you are separate from the non-Jews. It symbolizes that distinct and unique relationship with God. For us, do you know that we were circumcised in our hearts? Yes. Now you and I are separated for God. We have this unique relationship with God. Amen. And this redemption, this is redeeming the child through an offering. And when the parents do this, it's acknowledging that the child belongs to the Lord. That's why we have baby dedication. Now the purification part. Now, so that's the third a portion of it. So the parents in these ceremonies were to bring something as a sacrifice, as a burnt offering for sin. They were supposed normally to bring a lamb, but that lamb can be expensive. So they have said that for those people who are poor, that they can have an option either to bring what? Doves or pigeon instead. And this is what Mary and Joseph brought. So we see that they're poor. Do you follow? Mahirap sila. Hindi nila ma-afford yung lamb. Okay? Because it's expensive. So that's one. If you and I are going through that difficult time of, you know, we have needs, material needs. The Bible tells us that Jesus became poor that you and I might become rich. Later on, we're going to see something powerful. We're going to read these verses for us to be reminded of what Jesus did for us. That there are privileges now. If you are a child of God, you have privileges. You have benefits. And God the Father would want us always to come to Him and ask what belongs to us as a child of God. Amen. So also Jesus went through a life of routine. He went through a life of obedience and submission. If you're still there in Luke 2, now let's go to verse 48. Look at verse 48. This was a time when Jesus was already 12 years old. But for the sake of time, so they went to the temple for a feast. And then so Mary and Joseph, they went home not realizing that, you know, because they were in caravans. Marami sila. Kumbaga, convoy sa atin, right? And so what happened was, they found out when they got home that, where's Jesus? He wasn't with them. And so they had to return to the temple. Now look at this. He was at the temple, verse 48. When his parents saw Jesus, they were astonished. His mother said to him, son, why have you treated us like this? Because can you imagine the anxiety? Okay, looking for him. Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you. You know, we see here the heart of a parent. When you know, in a family life, when there's certain things going on, that you're concerned about the safety of your child, their physical condition, emotional condition, God knows that. And so here, it tells us that Mary and Joseph were going through this period of anxiety as they were searching for Jesus. Verse 49, and Jesus said, "Why were you searching for me? Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. So here was a point wherein now Jesus, being 12 years old, he began to realize that he is special. He is the Son of God. He's beginning to know that. He's beginning to know that. Can I say to the young people here, young as you are, God can speak to you. God can tell you that you were created for a purpose. You were created for a purpose. And we would want our children to know that. To know that. Parents, always speak to your children about the Lord. Let them, as they are growing up, know about... there's something about the laying on of hands. Can I say this to parents? There's a powerful principle, even if you're a grandparent. If you're filled with the Spirit of God, lay hands on your children. Speak the word of the Lord upon their lives. Upon their lives. On the 22nd, we're going to hear a powerful testimony from Brother Ray. And how the mom spoke positive things over his life. And not knowing, but she was already like prophesying over the life of Brother Ray. They came from a poor family, so I'm not going to steal away the ump of his testimony, but he's going to share his life testimony with us as a family of God on the 22nd. So hope you'll all be here as we send him off for his trip to the Philippines. Amen. Now let's go back to what the Word of God says. So if you're a parent and you have anxiety over the future of your children, know that God knows that. You love your children, God loves your children more. God loves your children more. Now, going back to Jesus as our example, look at this, verse 51. Are you still here with me? Then Jesus went down to Nazareth with them, with Mary and Joseph, and was what? Obedient to them. Oh. But his mother Mary treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. So what do we learn here? That Jesus, as he grew up, he lived a life of obedience and submission to the authority of Mary and Joseph. You would say, he didn't say, "Hello, I'm the Son of God. Why am I here? I'm not going to obey you. My dad, you know, my dad is in heaven." Right? He could have said that, right? No, but he gave an example of being obedient and submissive to parental authority and guidance. Amen. So that's a word for our young people. Amen. So, and in a life of submission, how long? He was 12 years old here, and he waited for another 18 years because he was 30 years old when he started his public ministry. Hirap no na no, no. Praise the Lord. And so, and even as the oldest son, Jesus assisted Joseph in the carpentry work. And it doesn't say much, but we know that eventually Joseph died. And we understand that Jesus took upon his shoulders the responsibility of raising the family. Because after Jesus was born, he had half-brothers. James was one of them. So, you know, hindi ko alam yun ah. Meron siyang kapatid? Oh, yes. So, can you imagine being in a small house with other with other siblings? So, it could have been a riot, right? So, we have to, like, allow the Holy Spirit to show us a vision of what Jesus went through growing up. And yet, he's God. All right. So, he was, the normal routines of daily life gave our Lord Jesus an understanding of the people of Israel. Don't you ever, one of the things that the Bible says is never despise small beginnings. Never despise small beginnings. It talks about being patient. It talks about waiting If you are waiting for something from the Lord, you're in good company. Jesus himself waited. Hello? He waited. He waited. So, and that's one thing that most of us, we are all creatures of, I want it now, Lord. I want it now. I want it now. I can't wait anymore. But there's something about what the Lord teaches us as an example. Amen. Waiting for God's timing. Now let's look at Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Galatians 4. We're going to start with verse 4 all the way up to verse 7. Let's be on the same page. This time I'm going to wait till you find it in your Bible. Galatians 4, because I don't want you to miss it. Galatians 4. Chapter 4, we're going to start with verse 4. Let me know if you're there. Dalawa lang, Brother Art and my mom. All right. Verse 4. But when the time had fully come. Pause. Okay. But when the time had fully come. Look at what the Holy Spirit chose here. In timing, there is what we call fullness of time. Just like a woman who is pregnant. Anong tawag doon? Sa pag yung full term. Kabuanan. What's a full term? 9 months. You know, unfortunately, at times, a baby can be born even before the full term. But we understand that at times there are like some side effects as far as not every part is yet fully formed. The baby has to stay at the hospital. Sister Connie knows that because she is at NICU at Kaiser, right, sister? So there are babies born before their full term. But when it comes to timing, so even in for a mother who is about to give birth, there is a set time. And so there was a set time even for the birth of our Lord Jesus. And so it says, but when the time had fully come, what did the Lord do? God sent his son, Jesus, capital S, born of a woman, Mary, born under law. For what purpose? To redeem us, to redeem those under law that we might receive. Are you there? Are you reading it with me?
Yes.
That we might receive the full rights, not just half, but full rights of adoption. Because, verse 6, now you are sons. God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. The Spirit who calls out, what? Abba, Father. So in our everyday language, it's like daddy, right? It's a term of endearment. You're close. Like when Jesus prayed to the Heavenly Father, He called Him Abba. Abba, Father. And when someone makes that decision to accept Christ, now you are a child of God. Let's continue because this is what the Word of God is teaching us. So verse 7, so now you are no longer a slave, but a son. Since you are a son, God has also made you an heir. Pag sinabing heir, there is what? Inheritance. Merong tagapagmana. We should be, hallelujah. We should be saying, thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
As a, here we go. We are like, kumbaga, we are peeling. We are peeling something for us to see the meat of what the Word of God is telling us. What does it mean to be a child of God? What does it mean now that you made that decision, you and I made that decision to accept Jesus, to put our faith and our trust in Him? It tells us that we are no longer a slave. A slave does not have rights. A slave does not have any freedom. But praise the Lord, you and I have been set free because of what Christ has done. And not just that. Of course, the benefits of having our sins forgiven, that's the best part of it. But while here on earth, we have needs, right? We do have needs. Not just financial needs. We all have emotional needs too. Struggles spiritually, yes, those are all they all come into play while we're still here on earth. But praise the Lord, but praise God that we are not alone in our struggles. That because Jesus became human like us in our praying, when you and I, in Hebrews, we read that. So when we approach the throne of grace, what's the throne of grace? Do you know when Jesus died, heaven is wide open. Hello? But sad to say, many times we forget that heaven is wide open. In our previous Bible studies, here's the thing. When you and I begin to learn what the Word of God says, God is teaching us how to speak the words of God over our lives. Let me give you an example. If when I found myself in a financial need because I was out of job, the Holy Spirit taught me, speak the Word of God that promises that my God shall supply all of my needs according to His riches and glory. I told you the story about when my house was about to be foreclosed because, right? And then the Lord led me, oh, Psalm 112, wealth and riches are in the house of the righteous. Wow, Lord, wow. And so the Lord gave me an appraiser that gave a high value of the house that I was able to refinance the house. And so now, problem taken care of. See, when you and I begin to know what God has for us now, we are going to speak. Sasabihin ho natin. We will declare that God's word. See, when you and I do that, do you know that there are angelic beings? They are just messengers, and they are meron ho silang role in our lives. Do you know that when you and I begin to say the word of God, you know, our angels are busy. That's found in the book of Psalms. But sad to say, a lot of Christians, their angels are unemployed. Ganyan sila. Boring. Samantalang yung angel ni Sister Sally ni the brother. Yung angels ng ibang Kristiyanong unemployed. Naghihintay because the Word of God says the angels are waiting for the Word of God to be said. Once they hear the Word of God says, God, Jesus gives a command, dali mo yung resource. Right? That's how God works. See, we don't see it with our natural eyes because we belong to a spiritual kingdom. Spiritual kingdom. And when you are, may hurdles, oh, you have a boss at work. God sent you to that workplace, but you have a boss that you are not able to handle, probably. We don't know. Negatives. Do you know we have someone at work, she's a Christian now. She used to have a boss that would want her, not give her the opportunity to flourish and thrive. But, you know, praise God, that mean boss already retired. And the Lord opened a door of opportunity for her. You know, do you know now that this lady, she is like the secretary of one of the owners. One time she approached me. You know, she came to our church one time, and I invited her, gave her one of this. She came several occasions, and, you know, the second son who was here, I said, I like what I saw, Mom. She was telling me this story after the service. I don't want to be, you know, I want to be a Christian now. That's what he said, in effect. That's what he said, in effect. So what he saw and witnessed and heard, even some of our young people sent him a card. Do you know what that young, his son did? He has this binder that has like a plastic cover. The son even put that card in front of the binder because it showed it to some of his friends. Look, you know, they sent me this card. Know that every gesture that you and I make, every gesture, when we come together and we invite people like him, he accepted Christ. His son is now a Christian. He wanted to attend here, but because he lives in Southgate and he doesn't drive, he doesn't have a car. But God saw the desire in his heart. to know more about Jesus. Do you know that he met someone, a young man who is a Christian, and the church is so close to their house that he can just take his bike. The hand of God. We need to see the hand of God every time we come together. The small thing that we do here, whether you just gave this to someone and that someone responded and came. At times we don't know, at times the far-reaching effect. Can someone turn on the AC for a bit? Are you hot or are you cold? Never mind. She's cold and some are hot. It's okay. All right. I'm sorry. I got distracted. And so when we come to realize that God has called us for a purpose, as a church, you and I have been called to be his messengers, to be his instruments of love. Let's do it. Let's do it. And never think whether you are in your prime age. Never ever think that you cannot do anything. You can do something for God. Even in your giving, Sister Sally, that's a powerful, powerful exhortation about giving. Know that even in our giving, when you would even drop that envelope and you have in your heart, God has given you the burden for those poor people in Montalban. Do you know that now they are given an opportunity to hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus? Because the gospel of Christ changes lives. It's the word of God. And so what we give, in fact, there was a video, there was a family that expressed their gratitude. Their gratitude. And so to know that someone is thinking of them, and you and I are instruments of God's love for them. They have so much need. They have so much need. And so that's why we are saying yes, because this is all about, it's God. It's all God written on it. This outreach is all about God. We are just saying yes to what the Lord is telling us. Amen. And so God sent his son, Jesus. Now it tells us as we end, look at Romans 8. This will be a confirmation of what we read in Galatians 4. In Romans 8, we're going to end here. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear. Are you there? Chapter 8, verse 15. For you and I did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear. Do you know that fear can enslave us? Fear can cripple us? When you're afraid, it cripples you. You don't want to move. Nothing motivates you to do productive things. And that fear comes from the pit of hell, comes from the enemy, comes from Satan. For God has not given you and me a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and sound mind. Amen. Say that with faith. Say that with faith. If you are afraid of something, afraid of what lies in the future, afraid of being laid off, afraid of, physical condition and all, give it to God. Give it to God. Give it to God. And see what the Spirit of God will tell you what to do. Amen. So he has not given us a spirit of fear, but you and I received the Spirit, capital S, the Spirit of what?
Adoption.
Spirit of adoption. Now when you are born again, when you receive Jesus in your life, now you are now adopted into the family of God. And it tells us, and by him, we cry, here we go, Abba, Father. You and I have now boldness to come into the presence of God through Christ and say, Lord, I need help, God. Like what I did, I told the Lord, I made it known to him, Lord, this is what's going on right now. These are my needs, God. Now look at this. Now the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. It is the work of the Spirit of God to impress in your heart that you will not doubt that you are a son and a daughter of the Most High God. Amen. Who's on your side? Amen. If you're a Christian, God is with you.
Amen.
If you're a daughter of God, Do not be afraid. If people, you know, women, we, you know, for a lot of women, we go through a lot here. Our stature, our, at times, the looks. Don't let the world dictate how you should look like. You are a special creation of God. Amen. Please remember that. You may, life will be boring kung lahat tayo, we look alike. That's right. There's a diversity. There's a different races. You know, when we sing, Jesus loves the little children of the world, there's red, yellow, blue. Red, yellow, brown, and right? Diversity. Diversity. Praise God. And look, now, verse 17, now, if we are children, then we are what? Heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. So what does that mean? Now, because now we are the children of God, we share in treasures as a co-heir. God has given us His best gifts. Number one, His Son. He has given us the forgiveness of our sins. He will provide. He will provide for your needs. Amen. So He encourages us always to come before Him for whatever you and I may have need of. Amen. Isn't that wonderful about the Lord? Amen. Hallelujah. And so let's just worship the Lord and just thank Him for Christmas. Christmas was the first time that Jesus came. But there's another event that is about to happen, and that is His second coming. But as you and I wait for that major event of the second coming of our Lord, because the Bible tells us that. So we're still here on earth, right? We have work to do. And God is here. When God has given us a task, He doesn't leave us to be by ourselves. He has given us everything that you and I would need so that God's purpose would be fulfilled through your life and us as a church. We know that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So, church, be encouraged. We have Jesus who understands what you and I go through. We have Him. He came in the flesh. God became a human being just like you and me. And so He understands whatever our struggles and experiences, what we are experiencing right now. And there will be a continuation of this next Sunday as we celebrate Christmas time. Let us not take out Christ in Christmas. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we are so thankful that, Lord, we can revisit the scriptures and be reminded from your word what Christmas is all about for us. Lord, at times we understand, we get excited about the gifts under the tree, but there's something more valuable than these temporal gifts, that there's a gift that goes beyond this temporal life. A gift, Lord God, the love of God expressed through Jesus, your Son. You thought of that plan, Lord God. As we celebrate Christmas this year, for some of us who have already made that decision to receive Jesus as our Savior and Lord, Lord, at times we allow the distractions around us, God. We can be caught up in the busyness of going to the mall, buying gifts for one another, God, that we forget about the true birthday celebrant. And so, Lord, as a people of God, may we give you the best worship that is due you alone. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for what you have shown us once more from the Word of God, that Jesus came to be the Lamb of God, to die for our sins on our behalf. And that, Lord Jesus, that you have sealed it at that cross, that we have benefits now as a child of God, children of God, sons and daughters of the Most High God, that we are co-heirs with Christ. Father, thank you for sending your Holy Spirit always, God, who is our teacher, by our side, comforting us, teaching us, guiding us, enlightening us, giving us understanding that would change our perspective in life, Lord. When we are down and out, we are reminded of the power of God, that you are a supernatural God. We thank you for the power of the Word of God that builds up our faith. That, Lord, when we speak over the Word of God, over our circumstances, things happen in the, Lord God, spiritual realm. That there is, Lord God, there is this activity going on in the spiritual realm. That, Lord, oh God, the blessings that you have intended for your children be ours. We understand that at times there is a delay, but Jesus, talk about waiting and submitting, Lord, you did that. You're our perfect example, Lord. Forgive us when we get to be so impatient, Lord God. We want things done right away. We don't see the benefits of waiting upon you, Lord. But the promise of the Word of God is that, Lord, when we learn to trust you, our strength shall be renewed. We will not grow weary and not faint when we learn to believe in you and to trust in your Word, God. Lord, we thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit that, Lord, even as I pray, that you touch every heart gathered in this place. How much we need the baptism of your Holy Spirit to anoint us, to guide us, to give us that spiritual energy and even physical energy, God, to obey you, Lord. Like Jesus, he submitted to the will of the Father. And so, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, for everyone gathered this afternoon. As we come before you, Lord God, once more, we recommit ourselves to you. Speak to the Lord wherever you're seated. Just thank him. See, prayer is talking to God. Most of the times I do the praying, but you can do it this time. Do it on your own. You've heard the Word of God. If you're someone that have not yet accepted Christ, you can do it right where you're seated and say, Jesus, I would like to make room in my life, in my heart for you. I'm going to accept you as my Savior that I can have the forgiveness of all my sins. Say that to the Lord. Say that to the Lord. And do you know that when you put your faith in Jesus, you will become a child of God. It's the best gift anyone can have. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for your presence in our midst, God. We thank you for even touching the heart of that someone that's going through difficult times. We thank you, Jesus, that you've been through it all. You know what it means to be in want. Because you came and you were born to a poor family. But that Jesus, you became poor that we might become rich. That Lord, the provision that comes from God is something beyond us. We hear a lot of testimonies how you provide. And people would say, I was just in awe and amazed. That's God. That's you, Lord God. Father God, when there are circumstances, oh God, like Luke, one of your disciples, a physician, you gave him the assignment to write the birth of our Lord Jesus. May we all be reminded that, Lord, when you move, Lord, you move supernaturally, God. Many times we limit you, Lord God, and we ask for your forgiveness, God. We limit you all the time. At times we have conjured in our minds, we have thought of, Lord, this is how you should solve the problem. At times we think about how you will act. And how the way you will perform what we're asking for. But Lord, when we give it to you and surrender totally that situation, God. Learn to entrust everything to you, God. Then we begin to see the powerful move of God. Truly we would say, what a great and mighty God I serve. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord God. Salamat, Panginoon. Thank you, Lord. And Father God, as co-heirs in Christ, we thank you for that promise that we can call upon you. Abba, Father. You said, ask and it shall be given. So we ask, Father God, for those in want, that you supply for the needs of your people. for those who are hurt because of rejection, that your spirit just touch that part, the deepest part of us that's broken, God, that no one else can heal but only the Spirit of God through the love of God. We understand that at Christmas time at times is a time where a lot of people are lonely, Lord God, and depressed. But as the God of hope, we call on you. That, Lord, we pray that you would send us to them and that we may share the good message, the good news that Jesus came on Christmas Day for us. That we may have hope and peace and joy that this world can never give. So, Father God, we thank you for this time, Lord God. The reality of the love of God be experienced by everyone. And so, Lord, even as we take our second offering, because, Lord, you are our best example in giving, you gave your best. You gave your only Son. And a blessed privilege for us as a people of God, as a church, that we can be a blessing to the poor people in Montalban. We thank you for the outreach that has been done, the word of God that has been sown in the hearts of so many who heard the message of the gospel. We thank you, Father God, that, Lord, you are performing what you have promised in the book of Isaiah 58. And, Lord, we even remember, Lord God, the water project, Lord God, that's ongoing, Lord God. That, Lord, you're already touching the hearts of those in positions of authority, O God, for we know that you are the source of all of these things. We thank you for the wisdom upon Pastor Romel, even for Brother Ray as in his forthcoming trip, O God. We're already lifting him up to you, God, that you order his steps and our steps, God. And thank you for the generosity of your people here in this church. We know that, God, you will multiply everything that will be sown into your kingdom, O God. Bless them, Lord, indeed, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. As we call on the ushers, we're going to take a second offering for Montalban. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. God bless you as you give. God bless you as you give. Thank you, Lord. As we all, when you're done, as we all rise up, and let's just thank God. No, not yet. Thank you, Lord. Let's thank the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, once more, we thank you. Let's all pray. We thank you once more for your word for all of us. Thank you for touching everyone gathered today, Lord God. And we commit to you the remainder of this time, that the Spirit of God just continually work in each one's heart. Our time of fellowship and having lunch together. Father, we thank you for providing for the needs of your people, O God. We honor you, Lord God, and give you the highest praise that is due you alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's call on the praise and worship team. Praise God. Glory to God. Amen, amen. Let's thank the Lord. Praise. Glory to God.
Praise.
Thank you, Lord.
Let's continue to thank the Lord. Our revival.
So, praise.